Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. And today I'm in the studio with career strategist Selma Musavi from Kaizen, a community which aims to help people make successful career transitions. Plus, Selma will be sharing some of her dynamite questions you should be asking at your next interview, which will not only help you stand out from the crowd, but will also help you work out if that job is the right one for you. So without further ado, Selma, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much, Matt. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Excited to be here.
I'm really excited. It's an absolute pleasure having you in the studio. And what a unique career strategist. You're going to be sharing some of your career transition tips, and we've got a really interesting show. So get ready. So then, Selma, let's kick off, shall we?
Go for it.
I'm curious, career strategist, what is it that you do and how do you do it?
Well, Matt, that's an interesting question. I'm glad you asked me. Yeah, glad you asked me. So I have a day job. So I've got a bit of a career portfolio going on. I've got a day job with General Assembly, which are a retraining company. They help people get jobs in in-demand industries, things like tech, data, AI. But my higher calling is career strategist. I help people find careers that make their soul sing because life's too short.
That's really cool. Make your soul sing. And I guess what you're trying to say there is just enjoy being at work.
100%.
It's interesting. And that's not the only thing you do. Tell us about this event you've got going on tomorrow.
Yeah, so I've recently become Southampton's hub leader for Women Who Do. So this is a networking event, Collab and Connect. And it's for women in business, so you could have a job or you might be self-employed, and it's an opportunity to come and meet like-minded people, like-minded women who want to make genuine connections and find out about each other and just have a bit of a chat and a pastry.
So a good bit of networking.
Good bit of networking. My first event's tomorrow at BISC, and if you want a ticket, there's some still available. So head on over to the website and get yourself a ticket. I'd love to meet you.
And what is the website? Where do people need to go?
So just go on to Women Who Do, click on Southampton Hub, and there you go.
Excellent. So let's talk about being a career strategist. I'm really curious, you know, how did that come about?
Well, how did that come about? Long version or short version, Matt?
Let's go for the long one.
Okay, so I started my career as a teacher. So prior to that, kind of when I was a student, I was doing bits and bobs, but my actual first career, I decided to become a teacher. 15 years, absolutely loved it, but I fell out of love with it after 15 years. So COVID happened, a lot changed, and I decided that I didn't want to do that anymore. But as I came to that decision, to that conclusion, I suffered a lot in the process. So a lot of desk dread, Sunday blues, mental health impacted, and it took a lot to make that change.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there was obviously a bit of a turning point.
Absolutely. So after COVID, I said, life is too short. That is my motto for life. It's too short, you know. I recently read a study done by Gallup, which said 90% of the UK workforce are disengaged at work, and it's the worst in Europe. And we spend at least a third of our lives in work. So why are we spending it in work that makes us so miserable?
Yeah, absolutely. That desk dread, the Monday blues.
Yeah, have you felt that before?
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
And I think the majority of people have as well. And it's a shame. Why are we living? Why are we not living our best lives? You've got everything at your fingertips, you know. The barriers have never been lower for you to be able to make money, for you to change, like, you know, the internet, everything's at your fingertips. And it's all just about making those incremental changes.
Absolutely. So you've sort of been there, you've sort of gone through this experience, and you've sort of set up Kaizen as this amazing community.
100%. Yeah, because I think that's something that I lacked when I was on this journey. I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And all of that, it actually took, close to 2 years to actually finding what I wanted to do. And I really landed on my feet with General Assembly, and I'm grateful for it every single day.
Absolutely. tell us about Kaizen, because it's a great name for a business, and I just wondered whether or not there was any kind of meaning behind it.
Yeah, well, when I was teaching business a few years ago now, there's a Japanese concept in business called Kaizen, and it basically means continuous improvement, which goes back to the point in business, it's not about making that one major change. It's all about making incremental changes, maybe every single day, every month, every quarter, and all of that will compound, and you'll finally achieve what you want to achieve. And I really saw a synergy there between the concept of Kaizen and also changing your career, which is why I decided to call the community Kaizen, because that is how you do it. You know, it's not easy changing your career, but it's also not as complicated as you might think it is. Mm. So if you're making those small changes day in, day out, you will get there in the end.
Absolutely. And we touched on, didn't we, about desk dread. And of course, what can happen is people just kind of roll with it and it becomes the norm. But it doesn't have to, does it?
It really doesn't. And this is the thing, Matt, like when I was reflecting on my journey, I just feel like, you know, we tend to plan all aspects of our life, from the holiday that we're going to go on to like really important life decisions, like financial decisions, and if you're going to start a family and, you know, things like that. But we very rarely tend to plan what our career is going to be or what we're going to do with our career. We tend to fall into careers. And the people that I've spoken to who have said, no, I chose that career, they usually choose that career based on either society's expectations or because someone who they respect has said, this is the path to go. And they go on that path, they work really hard, but then after a few years, they find that they're burnt out, they've got that desk dread, and it's not something that makes their soul sing.
Yeah, that's it. It's sort of giving you that sort of get up and go, because it's difficult, isn't it? You're in a job that you maybe don't enjoy. It's difficult to necessarily find the creativity or have the drive to, you know, make a positive contribution. You kind of just literally, you're in a bit of a rut, I suppose.
Completely in a rut. And it's just that waking up every morning and having that feeling in the pit of your stomach, but you force yourself to go because you've now got financial commitments, or you're just like, well, what else am I going to do? And you just don't see a way out. Mm. And it really makes you feel sometimes like you've got, people have described it as having a life sentence. Mm. And yeah. I think if you think about the depth of that, that's really deep.
I suppose it is. And it must be quite rewarding helping somebody that maybe, you know, maybe they're not reaching their full potential, or maybe, yeah, they're just not enjoying life. They are, what is it they say? They're working to live, not living to work. Or is it the other way around? Maybe it's the other way around.
You've got me thinking now.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely, you want to work to live. You don't want to live to work. Yeah, exactly. That's what people end up doing 100%. And it's a shame. And I think we just get that tunnel vision, don't we? And we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And sometimes it just takes someone to say to you, look at all these opportunities. Every day in the papers, you hear of stories, people at the grassroots where they had a little side hustle and now they're making X amount, or they're just so much happier. That could be you. Why do you think that opportunity isn't there for you?
Absolutely. And in your own experience, it can be a bit tricky, can't it? If, let's say, for instance, you have somebody that wants a career change.
Mm-hmm.
And in your own experience, you know, you were a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And so perhaps people that are recruiting, they have this preconceived idea of what a teacher can do or the skill set a teacher has. But in your own experience, you were looking at it and actually it turns out that your skill set matched really well to that of a project manager.
Absolutely. You know, Matt, by the time I realized what I wanted to do and the jobs that I was applying for, that was then my biggest barrier. So to begin with, the biggest barrier was my mindset. Mm. I overcame that. I realized, oh, look at all these opportunities. And then my next big barrier was persuading people that I'm not just, in air quotes, a teacher. Mm. I've got so many transferable skills. I've got so much to give. And really what that came down to, you're a marketing guy. I was not selling myself, I guess, effectively, my skills well enough for them to see what I could actually do. And that was really pivotal for me. Once I cracked that and I realized that, look, these transferable skills as a teacher, they're the same as being a project manager. And once I could market myself as an experienced project manager, that's when things changed for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've sort of almost taken these experiences and you sort of packaged it up
mm-hmm.
in a digestible sort of way so that you can help other people. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How does it work? Do you take them on a step process?
Well, A lot of it starts with them. You have got to have that mindset to be in that position that you're ready to, first of all, realize that you can make the change, to accept that help 100%. And then once you've done that, we go through a process of doing a bit of an audit. So you want to do a life audit. You want to look at what your life is like now. And then if there were no barriers, so imagine no financial constraints, no geographical constraints, nothing. What would your ideal life be like? And that's a key term that, what would your ideal life be like? Not your ideal job, because your job ends up seeping into your life. So what do you want your mornings to look like? Mm. How much free time do you want to have? Do you want to be an early bird, or do you want to be a night owl? You know, and once we start identifying that, and then based on that, identifying the deal breakers, what is it that you definitely have to have in your next career move for you to be happy, for your soul to sing? That's when the real work begins. And that's when we can start identifying different paths that suit the life you want. So effectively, you're the creator of the life that you want. You curate it.
Do you know what? It's really interesting. I think this month's turning out to be a bit of a sort of life coach theme in a way, because last week I had Naomi Stonier and she's kind of does this kind of life coaching, but also does a bit of marriage coaching as well. And one of the things that she said was, you know, if things aren't going well in the business or in your career, that can often affect, you know, personal relationships.
Oh my gosh.
And a lot of what you're saying here about the soul singing, you know, get the career right. And I suppose, like you say, you know, it's one less thing to worry about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Matt. And do you know what? That was a truth bomb you dropped there. I'll never forget my husband saying to me, do you know, when I was a teacher, he'd go, you're a different person when you're on your school holidays. And I think that was a big turning point for me to realize that it seeped into my whole life. My personality has changed, and what am I doing? There's got to be more out there. And there was.
And the kind of people that, you know, you'd love, or that you are currently working with, I know on your website there's a lot of focus around kind of mid-career professionals.
Absolutely.
What is the kind of sweet spot, really?
So listen, there's a lot of help out there, I think, for people who have left school, or they're, I don't know, maybe just finished uni and they're looking for grad roles. But I think there does come a point where in your mid-career, so for me it was 15 years, but your mid-career might be 5 years, 10 years, you've fallen into a career and you identify, it becomes part of your identity. I identified as a teacher. If anyone asked me, oh, they'd be like, oh, Salma the teacher. You know, and I think
almost like typecast.
Yeah, basic 100%. Exactly. And that's the point where you develop this mindset that, oh, well, I can't change now. That is me. It becomes who you are. So that is why I want to help mid-career professionals. And that's the sweet spot, helping them to see that there are options out there, and everything that they've gained hasn't been to a loss. I know they're probably not enjoying it now and they might be a little bit miserable, but actually all of that is going to feed into something new, and they're going to be able to use all those skills and experience, but in a new field.
I love that. Well, look, hold that thought, because we need to take a short break. We've got some music, got some ads, bits and pieces.
But let's go.
Don't go away, because in part two, we're going to be delving into finding the right career. And of course, Salma, you're going to be sharing some of your dynamite questions that people could ask.
Oh yes,
in an interview situation. And it's really interesting, isn't it, because these questions aren't just necessarily to help people stand out in the crowd. They're also quite a good way of finding that career alignment. Is that job right for you? Am I right
exactly
in saying that?
100%. That's what you need to be asking, Matt.
Great. Well, perfect. Well, look, don't go away, we'll be right back after this.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it. So a bed? Yep. A sofa? Yep. All right, what about a shed? Yes. So anything? Everything non-hazardous. Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from $799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com. and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I am in the studio with the incredible career strategist, Selma Mousavi from Kaizen. Selma, how are you doing?
Amazing.
I was just thinking that song there, Eyes Wide Shut. Mm-hmm. Do you find that sometimes happens when they're in their job and they're not really kind of enjoying it, but they're just sort of cracking on anyway?
Absolutely. That's it, isn't it? You just keep going and keep going despite it making you absolutely miserable in every aspect of your life.
Well, on that note, let's talk about career alignment, because mm-hmm. you've mentioned career alignment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a fairly new concept for me.
Yep.
Hadn't really thought about it in the past. What does it mean and why is it important?
It's basically when you integrate your skills, your strengths, your goals and your values in the work that you do.
Sure.
So basically making your soul sing. Like if I was going to explain it to a 10-year-old, that's how I would say it.
Yeah, literally skipping to work.
Skipping to work. And it is possible. And I know there's people sitting out there going, oh, what a load of old tosh, like that's not possible. But honestly, it is.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Because, you know, with any job, you've got to take the rough with the smooth,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I think for me, it's about proportion.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily want to have more bad days than good days. Don't just accept that, you know, things are rubbish all of the time, because it doesn't have to be that way, does it?
Absolutely. And this is the thing. Look, in my day job with General Assembly, are there aspects of my job that I really don't want to do or that I don't enjoy? Yeah, contract making. I absolutely hate it. I'm not, I don't have an eye for detail, actually. I'm more of a kind of strategist, big picture thinking. But it's such a small part of my job that it really doesn't grate on me. It doesn't make me miserable. I just have to, you know, put my big girl pants on and get it done.
Yeah, sure.
But on the whole, you know, there's so much I can bring to the table at my job that it really does make my soul sing.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And I suppose this dovetails quite nicely with mindset and how important mindset is, because anybody that may be they're not enjoying their career at the moment, I suppose the first step is to just acknowledge that.
And absolutely.
Getting the right mindset. Like, talk us through it.
Yeah, you have hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, for International Women's Day last Friday, I put a little post out on LinkedIn and I said, do you know what? I am going to pay it forward. I've been lucky enough to have so many people in my life to help me and to guide me and to, you know, help me find what I want to do. I want to pay that forward. And I said, you know, if there's five women out there who, you know, are really miserable in what they're doing, then reach out to me and we'll do a power hour. And women reached out to me, and that is what I said to them. I said, you know, that's the biggest step you've taken, is to actually acknowledge that you're miserable, and that means you've acknowledged there's something you can do about it.
Absolutely. It's like running a marathon, isn't it? Like if you look at the whole task, yeah, okay, but actually it's just about putting one foot in front of the other at the start. It's just getting going.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Don't think about the end. Don't think about what your time's going to be. Don't think about who's overtaking you. Don't let that comparison kind of seep in. It's the thief of joy, as they say. You really just want to put one foot in front of the other and just, you know, take those incremental steps, Kaizen.
So do you find people don't realise how much they've changed, or maybe how much their skill set might have improved without them knowing it? And is that ever sort of like a barrier or hold them back from even considering, you know, a new career?
You know, definitely. And that's one of the barriers that I personally had, was that, you know, one of my biggest questions was, when I started teaching, I loved it. What's happened? Why am I so miserable? And actually the answer was in that I'd changed, I'd grown, I'd, you know, gained lots of experience, got loads of new skills. And it's just a matter of getting those skills in a job that you actually love and is more aligned with who you are as a person.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes sense. I'd like to dive into this concept of combining a passion with your job, you know, mixing business and pleasure. What's your take on that?
Interesting. So there's so much out there, and I consume so much of it on social media, actually, where they're like, find your passion, follow your passion, and you get really riled up and you're like, yeah, this is my passion, I'm going to follow it. Guys, it's the biggest lie. It is the biggest lie. So what is a passion? Something only becomes a passion once we've mastered how to do it.
Yeah.
You're never going to master how to do something on day one. Okay. So the first step is, actually, if you're not sure what you want to do, get out of your comfort zone and try lots of different things.
Sure.
Once you start finding, doing lots of different things, and then there'll be one that really stands out and you're like, oh, I could actually be quite good at this. Then you'll start to master it once you've been doing it for a while. And it depends how long a while is. I know that's a bit vague, but you know, in some jobs it might be a few months, in some jobs it might be a few years. Once you've mastered that role, that job, that's when you'll be passionate about it. And that's when they say, if you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm.
So, you know, you might think, like, I remember, Matt, like us having a conversation before, you're going, oh, cycling was my passion. But I went into that field and I fell out of love with it.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? What you're passionate about doesn't necessarily have to be the thing that you do in your downtime to switch off. And that's where I think where it sort of went wrong for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the thing that I did to relax became my job.
Yeah.
And so it didn't really feel like I was relaxing anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas marketing is probably my passion.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like that. And you were saying earlier about the barriers have never been lower to making a change or starting a business or changing your career. Has that been your experience?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I found so many opportunities through networking, and because the barriers were low, you know, like previously, especially kind of pre-COVID, if you were going to network, it would be something you'd have to go in person, you'd have to commit a lot of time to. Mm. But what I tell my clients or anyone who asks me, it literally takes maybe 15 to 30 minutes a day on LinkedIn, and you can grow your network and it will just keep growing exponentially. And then that's when the opportunities come in.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? On the advocacy of kind of online networking. I mean, in person, I mean, there's lots of them now. There's lots of networking that you can do. But of course, it's much easier, I think, with all the job boards that are out there. It's much easier to even just have a look at the opportunities that might be out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Matt, especially for mid-career professionals, like they say now that people getting a three-year degree, by the time they come out of university, that information is old. Like that information is just obsolete. There's no point in it. And there are jobs out there that didn't exist maybe 6 months ago, a year ago. You look at things like how fast everything's moving with kind of AI and things like ChatGPT and similar
like services,
models and services. And that's the thing. There might be jobs out there that match your skills and your experience, but you have no idea they exist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there's a massive push, especially in the sort of world of recruitment, where people are saying that actually, you know, hire on character and attitude and their propensity for personal development rather than just pure necessarily skill set.
Yeah, and qualifications as well.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that holds people back. I think I was quite similar, thinking, well, as a teacher, I haven't had exposure to kind of the tools that people would use day to day in business. So how am I going to overcome that? But actually, that's something that can be taught. You'll learn that in your onboarding in the first week. Like that is the least of your problems. You really need to just be focusing on where you can match your skill set and your experience, and not worry so much about your qualifications or the tools that you know how to use. You look at all these top companies, you've got Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and they're all now taking a degree is essential out of their job description.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, so there you go.
That's a real head turner, actually. I didn't know that was the case, but actually it means complete sense, doesn't it, really? What would you say, Selma, to the people that say, well, career transitions, they're not easy?
They're not easy. I agree. They're not easy, but they're not. But look, anything that's worth having in life is not easy.
Mm.
Yeah, you've got to work at it. So you want to choose your hard. You want to choose your difficult. Why not choose that, you know, level of difficulty that's actually going to, you know, lead to something that's going to make you happy?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, yeah, they're not easy, but are they sort of a bit simpler than people might think?
Oh, absolutely. I think that was another mindset kind of barrier that I had, was overcomplicating it. And that's why it's about taking a step at a time.
Mm. So, like, what do you mean? Like, sort of overanalyzing the situation, almost
overthinking,
almost giving yourself excuses not to do it before you've even.
Yeah, I was rejecting myself before anyone had actually rejected me.
No way. Self-rejection.
Yeah,
it's like reverse imposter syndrome.
Yeah, absolutely, exactly. It's like, oh, they're not going to want me, or they're going to ask these questions, and I don't have answers, so I'm not even going to apply.
Mm.
But actually, it's about putting yourself out. And you know, I had a lot of rejection on my journey to finding the job that I have now. But do you know what's funny? That in a lot of those rejections, they were actually like, oh, you'd be wonderful for the job, da, 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 but we've got this in mind for you. And then that opened doors for me. So, for example, with the NatWest mentoring for the NatWest Accelerator, that was actually a job that I had applied for and I didn't get. But then on the back of that, they said, would you be able to mentor our startups?
Oh,
and that was right down my street. Absolutely loved it. And that's what got me into coaching and mentoring. And that's what got me into Virgin Startup, mentoring kind of startups there. So it opened so many doors for me.
And yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't necessarily the first door that you'd knocked on, but it led to...
It led to so much.
A different avenue.
Yeah, they do say, what is it? Rejection is redirection.
Yes. Yes.
And that's definitely what I found, you know, and obviously you're going to take a little bit of time to wallow and to kind of sulk and be upset about not getting it. But then you never know what's around the corner.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of my very early shows with a chap called Dave Larkin, and, you know, in his very early career, he was knocking on doors. And he said it was awful with that rejection. But he said, you know what, it toughened him up a little bit. And actually, you know, to be able to sort of deal with rejection in a constructive way, he said, actually, it's a skill. It's a lifelong skill.
Oh, my gosh, Matt, this is what we tell startups is get used to hearing no. So I read in a book for an activity for people who either have a startup or they're thinking of kind of starting a business is just to any time they're interacting with like a shopkeeper, like they go into a coffee shop, they go ask for a discount. Chances are they're going to say no to you, but them saying no to you actually really toughens you up and helps you develop that thick skin that you're going to need as a business owner.
Well, look, on that note, we need to take another short break. I can't believe how quickly part two has gone. But on the subject of asking questions, join us in part three, because Selma is going to be sharing some of her dynamite questions that people that are maybe, you know, look on the hunt for a new career and they've got themselves an interview. Some of the questions that they should be asking, not just to help them stand out in the crowd, but also to work out whether or not the fit, that career alignment. Whether or not the planets have aligned and you've found the job that's right for you. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice FM.
So welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I am in the studio with the incredible Selma Musavi, who is a career strategist. I love that job title. It sounds so good. Career strategist from Kaizen.
Yeah.
In Southampton.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Well, we've just been chatting really about sort of Selma's journey and how you sort of came to be this incredible career strategist, I suppose, helping people with making successful career transitions, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we've promised some people that you're going to be sharing some of your dynamite questions ask in an interview situation to help them stand out from the crowd, but to also work out if that job is right for them. Because you just said something in the break about the employer isn't just interviewing you, you're also interviewing the company.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. And so you should. And I think I figured that out quite late as well, you know, because I left it so late to kind of get out of my job that I was desperate. I was like, come on, somebody, please just give me a job. I can't take another day. But then actually I realized, you know, take a break, take a chill pill. You're in a job, it's paying your way, like that's absolutely fine. You don't want to fall into kind of another slump. You want to go to something that's actually you're going to enjoy and you're going to like. So you need to interview employers just as much as they're interviewing you.
Makes a lot of sense, actually, doesn't it? Makes a lot of sense. Well, do you want to talk us through some of the questions?
Absolutely. So listen, remember at the start when I said, when you asked me, where do people start? And I said, well, you want to think about what your life is going to look like. What do you want it to look like if there were no barriers? Your day-to-day, kind of your morning routine, etc. So one of the things is you want to ask them, what would my day-to-day, give me an example of a typical day, what would I be doing? Because that's really telling of finding out, well, are you going to be wrapped up in meetings all day, every day? Does that form part of your job? Do you have autonomy over your calendar? Can you block time out? Do you get time for creative work? You know, and from there, you can kind of see if that aligns with any of your deal breakers and things that you definitely want to have in your career. So that's one example.
That's a really good one. And it's interesting, isn't it? Just even asking a question in the first place can set you apart from a lot of other candidates.
Definitely. I think at the end of interviews, the interviewer generally or the panel generally say, well, do you have any questions? And people usually ask some kind of really cliche questions, don't they? But I think this is your opportunity to really interview them and to find out what kind of employer they are. The other thing I would say, Matt, is asking to speak to colleagues. Okay. Now, obviously, I think once you're working somewhere, you generally have a loyalty to the place that you're working. But from the language that the colleagues use, from their level of kind of, you know, how interactive they are with you, you'll be able to tell if they're happy in that place of work or not. Yeah. And that will be a really telling sign.
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it? And like you say, you should be able to pick up on things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And what about asking to come in for the day? Does that happen?
Brilliant. Brilliant. I think it does. It depends maybe how far you are in the interview process and what kind of company it is. But that's generally, I remember it was still during kind of COVID-y time, so interviews were happening over Zoom. And I remember they gave one place that I'd applied to gave me the opportunity to speak for 30 to 40 minutes with kind of a group of colleagues. And that was really beneficial as well, because you could see kind of like, was there banter between them? Kind of what kind of working environment was it like now that they were all remote? How often were they able to kind of have team meetings and things like that? So if you can physically go to the workplace, then 100%. If not, then, you know, next best bet is to speak to colleagues.
Yeah, makes sense. I love that. I think that's a really clever move.
Thanks, Matt.
Any other questions you've got up your sleeve?
Absolutely. I think asking them for examples of ways they deal with things. So, for example, a question that I asked when I was being interviewed at General Assembly was, "What challenges are they facing currently?"
Oh,
I know. That got them thinking. They had to take a minute there, actually. I don't think anyone had asked them that before.
yeah, absolutely. I've heard somebody just ask out straight away, you know, how secure is this business?
Ooh, now that's a little bit...
yeah, crikey.
Yeah. I mean, if you feel like you're getting that vibe from the interviewer that they could speak to that, then great. But with the challenges one, you can then follow that up and be like, well, they've told you what challenge they're facing or challenges they're facing. You then go, well, how are you dealing with that? And the way they deal with that also gives you an indicator of what kind of employer they are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Could somebody say, for instance, someone has a particular set of, you know, moral values that they hold dear. Could they ask the employer, you know, what are their core values to see if there's any alignment?
Fantastic, Matt. I mean, do you want to be a career strategist? I mean,
take me on.
Yeah, brilliant question. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you'll find the values on the website for the business, depending on, you know, whether they've put it on. But the other thing is, if they've got the values on their website, then you want to ask them questions where you can kind of assess, was it just there for the sake of it because everyone does it? Or do they truly live by those values? And again, like, you know, ask them for examples. So if transparency is one of their values, say, how do you ensure that there's transparency within the company?
Oh, nice. So actually sort of getting to walk you through it rather than just saying the word.
Exactly. Do they walk the walk?
Nice. I like that. Any more?
Absolutely. So as an employee, I think it's really important that we are celebrated for the work that we do. So a question that I love asking is, how do you celebrate success, or how do you recognise employees?
Oh, wow, that's a good one, isn't it? Mm. I've never heard of some of these questions before. I think it's fantastic.
Good, I'm glad it's useful.
And I suppose if you ask that question of, you know, how do you celebrate, you know, employee success or whatever it might be, what sort of response should you be looking for?
Well, I guess, I mean, really cliche, people having like employee of the month, for example. But I think just having opportunities to be able to shout out colleagues and to be able to say, you know, Matt did this really amazing thing and we're really grateful to him, I think goes a long way. Something that employers don't utilize enough, and that's what I found in my previous work as well, is that they don't realize how far goodwill goes.
Yeah.
And if you start recognizing employees, even if it's just a shout out in Slack or in your team meeting, you know, just saying Matt really went above and beyond, he went the extra mile, that buys them so much goodwill with Matt.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? I've quoted this Richard Branson so many times, but I think he said, you know, train people so they can leave, treat them so that they don't want to.
Absolutely, you've hit the nail on the head, definitely. And there are workplaces out there, again, I feel like people are going to be listening going like, oh, people don't, you know, this doesn't exist, but it actually does.
It does, yeah.
Other examples of like, how do you celebrate success? It might be that they talk about a profit sharing scheme, for example, or your ability to buy, you know, equity in the company if you hit X amount of, you know, you hit your KPIs, for example. There can be lots of different ways, but it just depends on what you really kind of, what resonates with you and what will make you feel good.
Makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, if you were to sum it up in terms of the biggest tip that you've got that you could give someone to, you know, help them on their way to a successful career change or transition, what would it be?
I've got two tips there, Matt.
Oh, wow. Value for money.
Yeah, bonus as well. So the first one is network. Okay. The best opportunities I've had in the last 5 years have been through networking. So things from landing my job at General Assembly through to my recent position with Women Who Do, being the, you know, Southampton Hub leader, or all the way to being here today and chatting with you, Matt.
Yeah, sure. I mean, people do buy from people. It doesn't matter if you're selling a product, yeah, or a service, or you're trying to, like I say, you're trying to find a new challenge or a new job.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, guys, don't sleep on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the place to be. I pretty much live on LinkedIn. I eat, sleep and breathe LinkedIn. Mm. People underestimate the power of it, but actually there's so much value there. You can learn from people. You can join groups where, you know, if you've decided, oh, this is the industry I want to get into, there will be a group there that you can join, helping you, giving you tips and advice, and just meeting like-minded people.
Oh, that's such a good recommendation. So where should people start then? You know, is it acknowledging that they're not happy in what they're currently doing? Like, where should people start?
They can do. That's a tricky one, though, because if your employer and colleagues are on there, you don't want to be bad-mouthing them on LinkedIn. Sure. So maybe I would say, going on LinkedIn, first of all, you want to optimize your profile. Okay, so you want to make sure that when someone clicks on your profile, they understand who you are, what you do, and what you're looking for. So making sure in your bio, you've got a really good up-to-date explanation of what you do, and actually maybe using language towards the industry that you want to go into.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Sort of almost priming it.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly.
So I'm curious, what's next for Kaizen then? What does the future hold?
Well, let me give you my second tip, Matt.
Oh, sorry. And then we'll go. Crikey. Tip number two.
Tip number two, the bonus tip. So get out of your comfort zone.
Nice. Like today.
Yeah. You are not going to build your dream business or your career standing in the same environment that's making you miserable. Mm. So get out of your comfort zone.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what it might be, but just to step outside it to see how it feels.
Exactly. And that's what will bring the opportunities to you.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing those tips.
Thanks, Matt.
So, what's next for Kaizen?
So for Kaizen, it's me getting out my comfort zone, because I'm not great at marketing myself and kind of doing all these, like, I'm definitely not an influencer guy, so taking pictures and making reels and stuff, but that is my target. So I want to put, you know, high value information out there and get people to join the community, come and join us for the journey. And you never know, you could, you know, find your dream career, make your soul sing.
That's, I just just, I love that tagline. You need to literally run with that. You've got an event tomorrow as well.
I do, absolutely. So our Women Who Do event, if you're a woman who's in business and you want to meet like-minded individuals, have a bit of a chat, talk a little bit of business, have a pastry and coffee, then it's not too late to get tickets from the website.
That's really cool. And if there's somebody listening today, or they're listening to, they're listening back on the podcast and they think, do you know what, I would really love to have a conversation with Salma. You know, I'm thinking about maybe a career change. Mm-hmm. What do they need to do? How can they get hold of you?
Hit me up on LinkedIn. Okay, so Salma Musavi, add me, follow me, add me as a contact, send me a message. If you say, if you kind of let me know that you've heard it through Voice FM, then I'm willing to give a power hour to anyone who quotes Voice FM.
Oh, wow. What a free power hour.
Yeah, a free power hour. Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
And we'll get you a roadmap. We'll get you a roadmap to find out, look at where you are now, where you want to be, and how you're going to get there.
That's such a nice idea, isn't it? And with that roadmap, do you kind of, what do you kind of do? Do you have a bit of an idea session?
We do have it. So part of it will be a bit of an idea. So just finding out what your gripes are, and then looking at what you want it to look like, and then kind of looking at what your strengths are, and doing a bit of an audit, doing a bit of a skills audit, and then looking at some opportunities that are there. And then actually, I think sometimes people decide what they want to do, but they don't quite know how to get there. So just doing a step by step.
And is it, after that power hour, the advice that you give people, is it kind of like a one-off, or do you do sort of coaching sessions over a period of time?
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, we can do coaching after that. So I think, you know, if you want an accountability partner, someone to really help you and to give you advice and to really strategize your next move and help you create that life that you want, then that is what I do.
That is absolutely brilliant. Well, look, Salma, we're actually out of time.
Gosh,
I know, hasn't that flown by?
That really, really has.
It's been really exciting delving into the world of career strategizing.
Fantastic. I'm glad.
I absolutely love that. And obviously, you know, everyone here at the station, we wish you the best of luck, and perhaps we'll do a revisited.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love that, Matt.
In 12 months time, and we'll see, because no doubt, I mean, I know you've helped so many people already, but no doubt you will have helped many, many more. So yeah, so if you've enjoyed this show, I'll be back again next week with another fantastic guest. You've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes, and don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule: keep your recycling clean, dry and loose, and remember,
don't put boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM, and if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.